Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinners listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to
Reading from Colossians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let's give thanks for this They certainly are wonderful words of life. Life in Christ. Life from Christ. As we read, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. It is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all according to the Word of God. Let's give thanks for it, and let's pray that we won't come short of hearing it. Pray that we will not be spoiled by philosophy and vain deceit and tradition of men, which has happened in the church, and I fear is still happening today. Our Father, we give thanks for this word. We give thanks particularly for the way described in it, the new and living way in Christ, beginning with him. He, first of all, as our Creator. He also, with thee, Father, the Lawgiver, and then the Redeemer. And we pray that we might see all of these things as they are spoken of here, as they are spoken of throughout the Scripture, that we might know, as Paul did, thy whole counsel, that we may not come short of believing it, that we may certainly not be guilty of wresting the Scripture, as Peter spoke of some that did that to their own destruction. And Father, we know, and I know I have done it in the past, and we would not bow to thy word and to thee, the God of that word. And we pray, Father, that we may not go back to those wicked things, not believing thy word, not believing thy way, not believing in thee, the only true God, the potter, and making us to know that we are the clay. And we give thanks for it, for Father, otherwise we would never be molded and made after thy will, and particularly not in the way of Christ. We read that he is to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, and we know that he was that to us. And Father, help us to see it, to acknowledge it, and not to be satisfied with just a historic faith, though we give thanks when we have it, but we know that we must have that faith which is a trust, that childlike faith in thee and in Christ, knowing that thou art and that thou art a rewarder of those that diligently seek thee, and that we can only come to thee by faith through Christ. And we pray now in his name that thou wilt teach us the things that we need to know in the church to revive it, the things that need to be taught in the world. As Lord Jesus, you said, they shall be taught of the Father, and all those that are taught of the Father come to thee. And we pray for the many that have not yet come to thee, Lord Jesus, both in the church and in the world. And we pray that there might be both a reviving in the church and an awakening in the world. We pray, Father, also that soon thy word might be preached to all creatures and all nations, that many laborers might be called and sent to every nation throughout the world. We also give thanks, Father, for the blessings in nature. We pray for those that are suffering and need thy hand in nature. We give thanks when we have the sunshine and the rain. We pray for those that have suffered terribly by the flood, those, Father, that are on the other extreme in drought, others in different calamities of nature, wind, fire, earthquakes. We pray for all of those who are suffering, the homeless, the hungry. We pray especially for the war-torn lands and the awfulness of it, those that are captive of the wicked, ones that have killed sometimes the men, taken the women captive, the children, the awfulness, Father, for them. We pray for thy mercy, thy grace through Christ to bring many to believe that they are guilty of the lie, and that they might come as Paul, as a little child, and say, who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do? And we know that that can be done today, as it was with him, that it can be done with many, as it was with one. We pray also, Father, for the other needs that there are. We pray for the schools, that they might teach thy word. We pray for the broken homes and the children in them. We pray for those in sickness and injury, that thou would give healing to many. Give them faith to look to thee for that blessing, and also faith to submit, if it is not thy will to give healing, and particularly we pray for those who in their illness will soon meet the end death. They might be prepared through the gospel of Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we continue here with Paul's letter to the Colossians, it is to a particular church, but thankfully, it is for us as well. The first verse that we read today, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Every one that is a Christian has to have that blessing, receiving Christ Jesus the Lord, knowing it as stated here, Christ Jesus the Lord, Christ the Anointed One, Jesus who was so named because he would save his people from their sins, and who is truly Lord, Lord of all, Lord of lords and King of kings, and we must recognize it as his children. And as the following verses lead us, rooted and built in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And there certainly is much reason for thanksgiving, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, after he had described the initial things that take place in our life, in becoming God's children and receiving Christ. Then in the 12th chapter he says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service." And here certainly we should abound with thanksgiving and live a life of thanksgiving to God. Then the warning that we saw last week, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Not only is that danger there, but sadly, we like it. Going back to the time of Isaiah, they said to him, "Speak smooth things." That's the philosophy of the world. Things pleasing to the flesh, flattering. And we can see it. Jeremiah, God described the prophets who spoke lies and lightness after the way of men, and contrary to what God was telling the people through Jeremiah. Some even said, "Smite him on the mouth." They wanted to hear what the false prophets had to say, and it was not true. It brought them to destruction. And that is still true for us today. If we don't learn the straight and narrow way that God gives, and we take the broad way of many, the broad way that leads to destruction, that will be our end. Destruction. And worse than that, eternal hell. As Christ said, "Where the fire is not quenched, or where the worm dieth not," in the awful ways he himself described it, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the result when we are spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit and tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And many times the rudiments of the world are in the church, sadly. The church succumbing to the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh. And then the last part of that verse, "not after Christ," continuing then in the 9th verse, "for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We must see, as we read the 6th verse, the Lord. The Lord is the one that is the fullness of the Godhead with the Father. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God showed himself, as we read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the 2nd letter, showed himself in the face of Jesus Christ. In the 1st chapter of this letter to the Colossians, we read in verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the creator, but also, as the 15th verse tells us, the image of the invisible God. He is one with the Father. He is what we read here, who is the head of all principality and power, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We read Paul's letter to the Philippians, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God took on him the form of a man. He actually lived in that body, given to him by Mary, the mother, born of that Virgin Mary as a little baby, and grew and manifested himself as stating, I am one with the Father. The Father and I are one. And that is true. And I think of those words given by Isaiah in chapter 44, where we read God speaking as the King of Israel. And then we read, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Two, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. And often that term is used throughout the Old Testament, the Psalms, Jeremiah, Isaiah, use it many times. His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Not the whole statement, but particularly that phrase, the Lord of hosts. And here we read, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. One with the Father. Already in creation, we read in Genesis, where God states, let us, plural, make man. And there are those who do not want to acknowledge that. They do not want to acknowledge the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Scripture shows it. Stephen is described as filled with the Holy Ghost, right here on earth. He also stated, just before he died, he saw the heavens open and saw the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of God the Father, the two in heaven, and the Holy Spirit filling him here on earth. That's the Godhead. Can we understand it? Not very easily. It can be revealed to us to the measure we need to know it and believe it, but as Paul stated, we see it through a glass darkly, and as God tells us of our natural way, there is none that understandeth. So don't be so perplexed if you say, well, that's something we can't understand. And that's one of the problems when it comes to the philosophy of man. There have been many times through our history in this country where men wanted to only accept that which they said was rational, understandable for the natural man. And God says, not so. He says very plainly, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We had one of our early presidents who said he would only believe what could be proved in court. Miracles can't be proved in court. The new birth can't be proved in court. The things of the Spirit cannot be proved in court. And yet, the proof is there throughout history. What God has done in and through and for mankind. And if you are one of the blessed ones, if you are the ones that Paul can speak to and say, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, then you will believe, whether you understand it fully or not. This 9th verse, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the wonderful statement, the 10th verse, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Go back to the 18th verse of the first chapter, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Fullness is in Christ. And then we can have what is needed to be complete in him. What a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful message. And as we sang, wonderful words of life. They are. They're words of life. It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between darkness and light. Paul wrote to this church, the first chapter, 13th verse, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. These are realities. These are experiences. And oftentimes, as Paul warns writing to Timothy, we're only living in a time of formalism. We know these things intellectually, like we know the things of every day, and we want to bring them down to our level, and we walk in the form of it, but as Paul also said, they deny the power thereof, and that has been true. It was true of Christ. They said he's beside himself. It was true of Paul. When he spoke before Agrippa, he spoke to Felix, he spoke to Festus. When he was speaking to Agrippa, Felix says, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. He didn't see that Paul had been taught and was the witness of Christ. Paul was himself writing this, but it was true for Paul. He was complete in Christ. That's why he could do what he did. That's why he could say, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, and it was heavenly. Is it heavenly to you? Do we see the heavenly way? And do we see the earth in its awful, awful, awful condition today? Do we see it? I'm afraid not. No wonder God had to say through Christ to three of the churches, awake, awake, awake. The church at Rome, high time to wake out of sleep. The church at Ephesus, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The church at Corinth, awake to righteousness. Yes, there is a way of righteousness in our sin-cursed world. And sin is everywhere, 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 and becoming more prominent. Listening to the radio this morning, family children were left orphans because both the father and the mother overdosed on heroin and died. And it's happening. It's happened to people I know. It's happening over and over, more and more. I didn't know about that when I was a child or even a young person, but now it's very prevalent, along with many, many, many other sins. When I was young, it was rare to have a home broken, husband and wife apart. Now it's commonplace, and it's news too often. Over and over, we hear of it. Leaving children in frustration. Leaving children that don't want to live, take their own life. It's a terrible thing. And we could go on. The abortion, the awfulness of it. When there's one dead, three dead, 10 dead, 30 dead, here and there, it makes the news. And it should. It's terrible. But when there's between 2,000 and 3,000 killed every day in their mother's womb, it isn't mentioned. It isn't thought about. It's forgotten. Left. The innocent, the terrible ways, the awfulness of it for not just the child, but the mother, the guilt, the ramifications later, all opposite of what we have here. opposite of this blessing. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. And then once again, the beginning is referred to. The beginning was referred to as we read it in that first chapter, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Also further in that chapter, verse 21, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled, made us right with God. We were enemies. And then the verse that we began today, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And over, we have that wonderful beginning. And then along with it, the promise. Also in the first chapter, we read of that promise, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am in a minister. There is the beginning, and there is the urging to continue. And as we saw last week and read it again today, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, taking you away, taking you back into the world, taking you back into darkness. That's what it is. Taking you back to the prince of darkness, Satan. Satan, who, as Christ said of Peter, Satan would have you and sift you as wheat. And as Christ said to some who began to listen to him and who were described as believing on him, and then later didn't want to continue in the word, argued with Christ, and he says, you are of your father the devil. They had philosophy. They had feigned deceit. They had the tradition of men. So close and yet so far. Often very close to historic faith, but sometimes with tradition making void part of God's word and being substituted in its place. And there's much of that. That's why we have so much separation. It isn't just not believing the whole word, but it's also substituting other things and making them more than what the scripture gives to them, and other things less or totally ignoring them. And then the beginning is here, verse 11, and our time is gone, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That is the same as what Christ said to Nicodemus when he came to Christ by night. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you come to see the kingdom of God? Have you come to see yourself outside of it first? And then brought in by Christ, the Good Shepherd?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.